Oh, folks, long time no talk, but is what it is. I am back, and we will see how frequently these episodes happen. But here and there, I'm going to try to get back into it. We'll see if it's very frequently or not. Today's topic, I've mentioned this, but I want to focus on a specific episode for it. Not with, you know, a bunch of citations, but with thought and analysis of the high-level concepts of the Newman energy machine. And what brought this back to me, and I first heard about it in the early YouTube days. I don't know if you can find it on YouTube anymore, since probably YouTube is going to take a little bit of the kind of approach of the new Twitter, thanks to Elon Musk. It's probably you can find the videos, but at some point maybe they were just down. Newman, Joe Newman, was just a backwoods Georgia guy with, I can't remember if he even has much of an engineering background, but he has enough knowledge. It's not important what his background is. The idea is that he basically almost went, like, you could see the frustration approaching sanity of how much can I give you a big idea that can change the world and you don't listen? How is this possible? And so really what he had, it would be the Newman energy machine, or the Joseph Newman energy machine. And it was just a proof of concept. It's very important because we're going to talk about how right now, simply, we don't have the efficiency in almost all machines that we could. And energy is everything, because energy production is about how much energy do we need versus how much energy we have. If we are using machines that need less energy, then we have proportionally more energy for the amount of work to do, for whether that's distributing products, whether it's, you know, pushing water through the distribution system and so on. You cannot overestimate. For anything, you compare the extreme case. If we had free energy, what does that mean? It means that all the world's tasks that need to be done so that people have a fulfilling and clean and sanitary and productive and healthy life are now free. Whether that's distributing, creating, manufacturing, refining any number of services, or energy sources. Not to go inception on you, talking about energy to transfer energy sources, but this might not apply to every energy application. Whether it's having to run a production line, whether it is distributing important food and supplies, everything is related to how much does it cost to make it or get it there. What is the energy needed? It is an inherent cost of doing everything. So if we look at the extreme of what could we do, everything, the world would change if we had free energy. So we don't have to go to free energy. We can instead go to much less expensive energy, one-tenth the cost. Think of how much more we can do if all energy was one-tenth the cost. Things that are cost prohibitive, like desalinization of water from the ocean, so that we have fresh water from what makes up 95% of our water supply, I'm guessing, but give or take. The ocean's probably 90%, but we'll go with 95. If we can desalinate that, because we know it, energy to desalinate it is no longer cost prohibitive, we now have fresh water for everybody. We have healthy water for everybody. If then after desalinating it, if for some reason we have to then get it all the way into the continent, well, the ability to transport it into continent, into the middle of the continent, away from the coast, entirely different. So what brought this up is I'm watching on Truth Tide TV. I'd had the app. I downloaded it on Roku. I'd never watched it. I realized that maybe I had a collection of things. I was moving my apps around on my Roku and realized I had it down there and looked and started poking around. I'd more grabbed it as opposed to used it much. Realized they had Newman. and a special on the Joe Newman energy machine. It reminded me of some of this. I've thought about it previously. I want to hopefully highlight so I get back to it. No, I'll just say it right now. It doesn't violate the second law of thermodynamics. Okay, this special says it does. That's wrong. We don't know that. We don't have the proof of it. So first of all, that. It's not free energy. Now, is it potentially unexplained energy? Maybe. So, background. We go out to the backwoods of Georgia, 1982. The guy's been talking about it a lot, but some, I don't know, Atlanta station or New Orleans station decides to go there because they hear something about this Newman energy machine. They go there with their engineer because, well, this doesn't make sense. It's what you'd look for. It's not free energy. There is no such thing as free energy. Energy has to come from somewhere. Of course it does. So they bring their engineer. I'd be super excited. They go out. It passes the test. He is running off of batteries, a large rotor. He does get a little start, but they're there for 7 hours. It runs all 7 hours. When I say rotor, it's spinning on a pivot with, I don't know, the ends are probably, the legs off of the pivot, off of the axle, are probably a foot and a half a piece, and they're evenly distributed in spokes with large weights at the end. So what that load is, I can't tell you physically, but it's large. So for an example, when I say 7 hours, okay, now the closest we'd come to is maybe the Tesla vehicles, which I'd have to understand the amperage and how they work that. But in a typical car, and I'm going to explain why this works on the most basic level, why one factor is, and this is the most important thing that could happen in the world today, a simple adjustment that is the upfront thing that Newman shows, that Newman does. I'm going to explain exactly why that would change everything. And then there's more questions past that. So the example is spinning this large rotor. It's probably going about a spin a second, maybe two spins a second. Again, the spokes are probably a foot to a foot and a half with weights on the end, and it makes a jong, 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 jong. It's that loud and louder. He has it running some fluorescent bulbs in his little shed. The thing is spinning, spinning, spinning. It runs for 7 hours. While the TV station is there, they have no rhyme or reason. They can't explain it. They think he must be connected to a transformer out in the woods somewhere, but they look, they can't find it. So let me emphasize, okay, this doesn't make sense. It must be a trick. Do you understand that the importance of that? Well, no, this isn't kind of not possible. It is impossible. This is not standard in any way. It has to be a magic trick. It has to be deception. But there it is. And so they go back. They have a series of episodes on this so other people find out. Other engineers go. The engineer off the TV thing is convinced enough. He stops his job. The engineer from the TV station goes to work for Newman full time. I haven't watched all of this episode. It's just called Newman, but this is just the beginning. I can tell you the rest. I just wanted to get this content out there. I've talked about it before, but as a full episode, please listen. It's very, very important. It's very frustrating to me, like for people like me who understand pivots of fundamental differences, and then you see the world just not caring. So it's like a much smaller level of effort because I don't have the time involved, the commitment involved that Newman does, but I feel it. I feel his frustration. So the TV engineer goes out there. We have other engineers that go out as a team. They can't explain it. They're excited. They go out in the next year, say 1983. So what are the fundamentals of the difference? Let's get to that. The fundamentals of the difference are this. The second team goes out with nuclear engineers, with regular engineers, and so on. They look at it, they go, okay, in order for us to run this thing at the same physical load, we're going to run off the standard deal, and if we need 10 amps. So just remember that, that's current. So current is what's flowing through. Think of current as, I do have an electrical electrician background in the services, so I do know about this a little conceptually, but I will get some things wrong. It's been many, many years. I'll get the some of the concepts right, not some of the terms. Think of amps as how much water is flowing through the stream, the volume of the flow through the stream, and even not just the speed, but the volume, right? How much is going through? So that's the total amount of charge movement, if you will. Volts is how much potential. So if you do the stream, you would say that a cliff that is 75 feet off of the flat land below and has a waterfall off of it, but let's say it's dammed up, that voltage is the potential of that cliff 75 feet is less than the potential of the same stream dammed off at 100 feet. So voltage is the potential, but it's not flowing yet. So as we talk about amperage versus voltage and power, we're looking at how much amps does it take to run this motor. So the traditional folks using the traditional meters and the traditional way come in and they say, okay, to run this load or equal load after they do the measurement. I don't think they connect it right to his machine, but they do the math on what would be the equal physical load. They say it would take 10 amps, and yet they look at Joseph's machine, and it takes 1 amp, 1/10. So this is where, and I'll explain it more, we get to, only 10 times as much. It's not power, and this is where we say it's not breaking the thermodynamic law. It's not. And I can tell you the very basic for why this is so much more efficient, and I will. So, again, I've explained what that, it's in a big, I'll say a crate. It's in a big barrel, like a giant wooden barrel. The thing is 5 feet wide. The load itself is on an axle across the top. And then the rotors, the spokes, if you will, are going into and out of out of that barrel. So you can see it go chunk, 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 chunk. You can read the amps. And so this goes against the idea there's a transformer out there. Because if it's a transformer out there, it's because it's running off of standard power and it's delivering more of amperage. So now we know it shouldn't be based on just a typical, big power source out in the woods. So as the example, I interrupted myself earlier. Think of your car. Okay, what part does the battery serve? It serves purely and only to start the engine, to start it, not to keep running it. Okay, think of the size of a 12-volt battery. Now, this Newman Energy machine is running off much less than the size of a 12-volt battery. It's running off AA's or AAA's, although it is in series and or in parallel. So the total voltage I'm unsure of, however, there's a certain amount of capacity there, and this is where my, electrician but not engineer aspect is going to fail you exactly. But I think of it as total size of the cell. The total size of the cell is much less in his machine than even a 12-volt, and yet it is running a physical load of that size for over 7 hours after it gets started. How can this possibly be? Okay, here's why. Part of it. Here's why. You need to understand this by itself would increase our electrical efficiency by at least that 10 times, the 1 amp versus the 10 amps, at least. In electricity, there's something called I squared R losses, and it is a formula. So this is how efficient your setup can be. And the efficiency of the energy put in versus the energy out, because nothing has more energy unless... If something appears to have more energy than what's going in, it's because you're not identifying the energy source. And Newman would say, it's just another source that's coming in. I'm not explaining that. I am explaining that even without knowing that there's another source, I'm explaining the much better efficiency part that's already very, very important. I squared R losses, very simple, is that the amount of losses in a system that's electrical is increases in a proportion of the square of the amperage, the square. So it's not direct, it's more than that. So for instance, if I had a particular system that had 1 amp flowing through it, I take the same system and I instead have 2 amps flowing through it. It is not that the losses are twice as much, 2 amps versus one. It is that the losses are instead 4 times as much. So by the same token then, if you have 4 times the amperage of one system versus another, you don't have 4 times the losses. You have 16 times the losses. Now, I'm going to explain how this works with power and how it cannot break the law of the second law of thermodynamics necessarily. Depends on more measurements. Very simple. It's the basic formula for power. So we'll get to that in a second. But first, I want to explain, well, how could this be that even not considering whether or not there's some other power source that Newman's machine could be much more efficient? Well, it's very simple. The approach is wrong. We know absolutely and certainly it's a law of electricity that electrical loss is equal to the square of the amps. So if you have 10 times as many amps comparing apples to apples in the same system, you have 100 times as many losses, 10 times 10. And that's what we see when they took a traditional high amperage setup to try to run the load. They saw that in order to run what they probably calculated as the same load, they probably didn't connect it into a system, but maybe they did. It took them 10 times as many amps as it did for Newman, for his 1 amps. It could have been that the losses were, the electrical losses, we're not even talking about physical losses, but they supposedly got the physical part. It took 10 times as many amps as he had. Now, why is this backwards? Well, it kind of becomes obvious from the way I said it. Why would you have a high current, low voltage situation when the current, the amps, is what creates the losses? The electrical losses are proportionate to the amps, not the voltage. This is literally why when we transport electricity over long distances, we transport it as high voltage, because to transport it with high amperage would increase the losses. It is literally why after we transport the electricity physically over wires over long distances, then locally we need a transformer which still loses some energy, but which changes the voltage and amperage proportion. It changes it from high voltage, low amperage, to locally lower voltage, high amperage for use locally. That's what a transformer is for. These are applications that are circumstantial evidence that that law is true. We transport in high voltage because it would be too much loss to transport over distances with low voltage and high amps. Now, again, how does a second law of thermodynamics not necessarily being broken? It's because you have two aspects of power. One of the things you saw that the scientists would say in this movie, the engineers and such, is it doesn't seem like it could produce that much power. It's producing more power than expected based on it's the fact that it's just running off of double A's and triple A's. Power, okay? So we didn't talk about amperage or voltage. We talked about power. What is the electrical formula for power? It is amperage times voltage. P equals IE. I know that's the AC version, so I might be butchering that. It's been a while. But let's forget about AC versus DC. I'm going to say amperage times voltage to use layperson's terms. So, if power equals amperage times voltage, transformers, this is a whole principle of using transformers, then how can you deliver the same amount of power? Whatever your amperage and voltage is, if you double the voltage, you can half the amperage. If you double the amperage, you can half the voltage. This is very simple. Does 10 times 10 equal 100? Yes. Okay, but what if we half one number and double the other? Does 20 times 5 equal 100? Yes. What if we multiply by 5 and then divide by 5? Is 100 times 1 equal to 100? Yes. So we can have the same power, electrical power outlet, output, by either having high power and low voltage, or high voltage and low power. And this is purely some of the principle, and as much as the principle that we need to reveal to show that our systems could be built differently and it would actually work better. Our systems right now would have less internal electrical loss. And yet, I would say it's probably, I'm going to be reactionary here and say it's an Edison thing, but it's going to be Tesla, no doubt knew about this. He didn't care about distribution and, profits that can be made from selling more machines because it took more machines to solve the same physical load. He didn't care about that. Edison was the one who more likely cared about that, who cared about distribution systems and so on. But I don't know if Edison was behind it, but reactionarily, I'll say it. Standard AC motors are based on the bigger the motor, the more power, the more amperage. Well, what does that mean? I've told you. The more amperage, instead of taking the approach of more voltage and less amperage, instead, if you take the approach of more amperage, you have more electrical loss. So any particular power into a particular electrical motor, electrical machine, could be 10 times as efficient. Now, I know there are physical loads and the like, but as far as power into it, it could be 10 times more efficient if we took the high voltage approach. Now, I'm not saying it wouldn't have to be engineered slightly different. You know, I'm not enough of an engineer to know that. You would have to, you know, design it differently potentially. But it can't be that if you designed it entirely differently, that it'd have to go totally wackadoodle, because what does Newman show? He shows a large rotary load, which is a lot of our current loads. You know, it's a lot of them. They can work off of a rotational physical load. So that's where much of it comes from. Now, what Newman says afterwards, and I'm not saying he's not doing his math right, so we're going to hit the next step here. The next step is here. Well, surely that answers to some of it. And it doesn't break the second law of thermodynamics necessarily. If you react immediately as though amperage is proportional to power, then yeah, you think it does. But amperage is not proportional to power. Power is proportional to power. So what I mean by that is you can't act as though if one goes up, the only way, if amperage goes up, the only way that you can hit the same physical load, the same physical demand, is to increase amperage, the only way, because you don't have to. We talked about how you could instead make up for it in voltage.
So the excuse then becomes, well, but high voltage is dangerous. Well, yeah, maybe high voltage is dangerous, but electricity is dangerous, right? So isn't, and the other thing about it is that in reality, they say it's amperage that kills. I'm an electrician. I mean, I have electrician background in the military. They say amperage is what kills. So which is it? I can tell you the more direct argument is it is the amperage that kills. So if everything ran off of lower amps, then the power itself is not a problem. So that's the primer for the Newman energy machine. We'll go one step further and go, his argument surely, and I don't know, you know, seeing the rest of this, if I would be convinced. I know I wasn't necessarily convinced because I got so distracted by, I can't do the math because I don't have the specs in front of me, even if I wanted and thought I could potentially do the math and find some conversion of how much total electrical power does it take to run. And again, here's the thing. If you can't even measure off of the power, and this is probably part of the problem too, of how much power it takes to run a certain physical load, apples to apples in a certain design, if you don't take into account the losses, right? Because built into the power equals current times amps, you then have to go to the extent you have the amps, how big of a loss did you get because of the size of the amps? So depending on the I and the E ratio, right, you have much further loss or much less loss, which means then when you go amp times voltage, you get a different amount of power necessary. So it's a big question mark once you change how many amps it takes. Going back to the battery thing, and then we'll go to the more fantastic theory on it. Your car battery can die enough that it won't even turn over your physical starter long enough to get the engine started. Just from the cold, it can die that much. I know, I live in a temperate region where it can get cold. It won't even do the 6-second turnover. That's just a 6-second turnover. And then after the engine's running, it's recharging the battery purely so the battery can start it again and only start it. Otherwise, I do think it's possible. I don't know this for sure. And there is a Tesla car corollary of this, so I might go down. I think it's possible as it's charging that all the accessories are only running off of the 12-volt, you know, electrical circuit. I forget how that works. I don't really think there's, you know, there, I don't believe there's any AC inside the car, but regardless, I know there's an alternator and that might be the accessories, but it's purely the accessories. It's purely the electricity that is being generated by the gas motor. The gas is providing the power to your accessories while you're actually running the car and I'm unsure of this, because while you're running the car, the battery is being, recharged all the time. The accessories might, run off of the constantly recharging battery. But if you want to know whether or not your battery has very much power, even without physical load, just go ahead and, you know, keep on your overhead light when your car is not running. Keep on even your trunk light. Keep on your radio when your car is not running. And you'll see how it can't even run a small electrical accessory load for 7 hours, let alone the battery itself run an actual physical load. So then Newman, and I don't know, I haven't gone to the outstretches of these measurements, says, no, it's... So he's saying, okay, the efficiency... I think he figures in the efficiency. I'd have to listen again. I think he figures in the efficiency. On the other hand, you know, one of the first things that people talk about, we got out there and his machine isn't even grounded. Well, it does make you wonder, is the grounding purely for safety, or does it take away another aspect? Does it take away some ability for the machine to not have more capacity, to put it at the highest level? But the reason I say, well, it's not even grounded is this is the 80s. I mean, most people would ground their machines, but is it purely a safety aspect? And I say that to say, I'm not sure if his background is entirely technical or if he just started thinking about it. So it's possible that it's not entirely technical. If not, maybe he hasn't said, well, the limitation of the I squared R losses could only bring my machine to this much efficiency. And therefore, something else must be going on. I don't know if he's done that analysis, but I can tell you that he at least thinks there's something else going on. He's tapping into another field. And again, yes, the second law of thermodynamics says you can't have more output than input. But if I hold up a kite and I don't know, and I have an electrical wire, and then I get zapped in a storm, and I can't explain why I got zapped because it's just a kite, that doesn't mean that I didn't get zapped because the second law of thermodynamics was violated. It's that I didn't understand what energy source was tapped into, right? So the second law of thermodynamics can phantom illusory be, quote, violated if you just ignore the idea that maybe you don't know the energy source is being tapped into. So Newman, at least, whether he knows I squared R losses specifically or not, or whether he found the limitation of that, you know, analysis and said, well, but there's more. He says it's tapping into something else. He says it has something to do with a magnetic field. And this is one of those things where I go, we need to understand the absolute phenomenon with amazing child eyes that is magnetism. Now think about this. In order to induce an electrical current into a setting conductive wire without anything attached to it, all you need to do is move a magnet in relation close to it. Put the wire within a magnetic field and then have movement. That's the basis of motors, of electric motors, right? Of generators, is just move, have relative motion between a magnetic field. I'm going to get to the greater point here. Move, have relative motion between a magnetic field and a wire. That's it, boys. But wait for it. That induces real, usable current into the wire. But yet, we can use the same magnets basically forever. Practically forever. We don't see, nobody says, oh, after you've used, and there could be an outside limit here, but the general rule is it exceeds what would be my point here, which is like, how can it induce real usable current that is the basis for all of our electric motors and for power generation, like, you know, Hoover Dam and the like, just wind turbines, just relative motion between magnets and a conductor. That's all of our generating, relative motion. And the basis is magnetism. But the magnets don't run out. They don't change the magnets every 7 hours in Hoover Dam because they've induced untold numbers of megawatts in, you know, those 7 hours. So really, when you think about it, where's the power coming from? It's not coming from the magnet, or the magnet itself would need replenished. It would empty. It doesn't empty. Therefore, it is some trigger mechanism, correct? And so I want you to think about how amazing that is. Usable electric current, the kind we use all the time in electric motors and generators. Now, not right at our outlet. That's distributed electricity, right? That's distributed current is what it really is. Distributed from the power plants. But at the power plants, all of them are based on short of stored battery electrical potential. Everything that's AC, everything at a power, at a generating plant, a power plant is based on using something, some type of fuel to move, create relative motion between a conductor and a magnetic field, either by rotating and moving the magnetic field or by rotating and moving the conductor. Doesn't matter. Is water doing? Is the windmill doing it? Whatever is fuel doing it? And yet the batteries, there is no physical connection between the fuel, right? Between the wind, between the water, and the conductor that gets current induced into it. None. No physical connection. They don't touch, and certainly the thing that's moving one item or the other is not touching the other item. The magic here is the magnetism. And yet, the magnetized item does not need a fuel gauge. What this says, to at least back up Newman's speculation that it could be more, is that, again, the magnetism is really the trigger. It's not the fuel. It doesn't run out. So what's going on in the magnetic field? The magnetic field is the ether, if you will. And so Joseph Newman would say, there's unknown quantities in this field. And he's right. And so all we're doing potentially is taking advantage of that I squared R loss by decreasing amps, increasing volts, decreasing the amount of waste, because we had decreased the amps, which means less power is needed, right? And then, somewhere in there, potentially there is that other factor that he claims, listen, I don't know how it works. What matters, it reminds me of when you go to court and you go, yep, he's guilty. And someone tries to go, yeah, but what's the motive? So it doesn't matter the motive, dude. His thumbprints are on the gun. The gun is there. She was shot 3 times and he was seen escaping from the scene and he has blood on his hands and it's her blood. The motive doesn't matter. And so it reminds me a little bit like, he's got to be able to explain it. No, he doesn't. The results are the results are the results. As long as you can debunk other standard default energy sources, then the results are the results are the results. And we don't have to explain it. We just have to copy it to get the more efficient results. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for the Newman Energy Machine episode. Thanks for listening to The Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley.